Okay, our next talk in a minute is by Daniel Erickson, which will be a facilities report on the Australian Synchrotron.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Are we waiting a little bit?
I think you should proceed.
All righty. So, yes, hello. I am Daniel Erickson. I am one of the beamline scientists on the MX3 project currently underway at the Australian Synchrotron. The lead scientist on this project is Tom Caradoc-Davies. He could not join us tonight. I say tonight because I live in Australia. We have, as our name would imply, MX3. We have two beamlines preceding it. We have a bending magnet MX1 source, which is one of our sort of MAD capable workhorses. And then we have the MX2 beamline, an IVU that does most of our commercial work, that is of our current microfocus beamline, though, of course, MX3 will put pay to that. So in brief, the outline is as follows. This will be another IVU beamline, but to get the flux to where we need it, we'll be using a three-stripe DMM, highest bandpass around 1%. Energy range will be more limited than our other beamlines, and as such, it will not be MAD capable at the outset. We have an upgrade plan for a DCM, but that's sort of more just a placeholder than anything else. So seen here is sort of one of the outlines thereof, and better yet, we are now starting to get actual proper renders of the way we're expecting this to work out. So if you can see my mouse, this right here is a non-existent DSM. Like I said, it's a placeholder. DMM over here, pre-focusing mirror onto a secondary source aperture. Transfocators will take care of most of our ability to manipulate with the beam size, followed by a KB mirror tank, and then a detector and robotic system in the in-station. So fundamentally, we are looking at a couple of different modes of data collection. And just to put this into a little bit of context here, we obviously have a lot of in-house expertise when it comes to single crystal goniometer science. We will be having an MD3 up goniometer on MX3, and along with an ISRA robot that will take care of our robotic systems. That's not what we have on MX1 and MX2. What we do have is an annual output of hundreds and hundreds of papers every year that are referencing MX1 and MX2. So we are absolutely killing it in that field. We're very sort of comfortable with how that's going to work out on MX3 as well. Though, of course, we'll be aiming to use much smaller and more weakly diffracting crystals in that space. Where things start to get a little bit interesting is, of course, that we're also going to be offering trace screening and collection. To that end, the MD3 will have a separate trace screening head available, as well as there is a separate tool set for the robot to take care of the transfer of plates. There will be a tray hotel inside of the end station to allow for up to 10 plates to be fed through the system at any one time without reloading it. And what we're aiming to do here is effectively try to lower the barrier to entry for as much crystallography as possible. We're going to be implementing something along the lines of a tray Tuesdays, idea being that anything that has been sent to the facility over the preceding week will all be loaded up and shot over the course of a day using as much automation as we can throw at it. And we're also trying to think about these things in terms of the underlying business logic. So there will be they'll be sort of as permissive as we can when it comes to the experimental authorizations and stuff like that sort of involving here. Hopefully we can sort of issue sort of blanket pardons for anyone who wants to send us trays and not be sort of too bogged down into sort of getting all those permissions sort of lined up for every single tray that comes into the facility. We're going to be treating this effectively as a smaller test case of things that are getting a little bit more hairy for us. So I mean, this will be a day one deliverable. Down the line, we're also going to do fixed targets. This is, of course, a field that with some movement in it, so it remains to be seen exactly what kind of systems we're going to end up using, what precise targets and what precise systems for loading them up. We're evaluating a couple of different candidates. And finally, of course, there are assorted injector systems available. We have a budget for this. We are yet to make some decisions on it, because this, if anything, seems to be a very rapidly developing field and remains to be seen exactly what we'll be picking. What we are doing, of course, is all of the sort of work leading up to this point. I should mention that, and I forget, I don't think I said so earlier on, we're going to be seeing our first users in the middle of 2023. So that's kind of the timeline that we're working towards. As has been touched upon earlier in this session, one of the core issues with MX science is that it becomes faster and faster, and humans just cannot keep up with the flow of information. So anything to do with stopping or even taking a breather and trying to jot down information about what you're doing and assessments about the experiments or updating fields in the GUI, that's just going to become less and less a thing that people should be doing. Ideally, we want all of these things to be sort of done ahead of time, such that via something like either an iSpy-B system or something very similar, by the time samples arrive at the synchrotron, all the metadata around the experiment are known already and can sort of just be slotted into the respective place as the photons start to fly. And on that note, we're also having a sort of very sober look at what our in-house expertise is in terms of how we're going to be able to tackle those problems. Starting from the bottom, I think we have a very good handle on sort of raw data management, as well as sort of a clustering management and automation code for processing our data. Faster is better, of course, as we saw earlier on in the previous talks, that's sort of a non-trivial problem. And we have by no means solved those yet, but let's say that we have sort of in-house expertise when it comes to sort of trying to manage those systems. We know already that sort of all of our middle layers will be O for the blue sky, as well as we're going to be Python logic similar to what the zoo system is providing. And then things are getting a little bit more sort of towards the sticky end, where we're trying to figure out exactly what will our assorted user-facing GUIs, as well as backend databases, behave like. Are we going to end up using MXCube and iSpy-B? Are we going to be rolling our own? Precisely what's going to happen in that space is sort of open for debate. Which is in fact why I am hoping to yield most of my time here. And rather than ask you if you have any questions, I have some questions for you. So I realize that this is not necessarily the HGRMX meeting where we've been touching on these particular topics, but nevertheless, I was hoping that we have enough people here that we can at least sort of touch on some of these topics. And for other ones, I think we have exactly the people we need here. So for instance, do people have any experience running iSpy-B with iSpear? iSpear being the lab information system that's supposed to be running at the client side of things and then feeding information to iSpy-B on the facility. Where do people stand on things like the back end of either iSpy-B or sort of a more roll your own system when it comes to the type of database being used? I think we're sort of easily more comfortable with a system like MongoDB versus a pure SQL system, though we'll probably realize that there's going to be sort of a trade-off between flexibility versus speed. What are people's experiences there? Any lessons learned when it comes to the little sort of experience arrow I showed before, going from single crystal, your crystallography to serial? What is it that sort of the major take-home messages there? And finally, injector data processing, drinking from the fire hose. We heard some previous talks on that, and I would love to sort of return to that topic. And that's basically it for me. I'm going to go ahead and unshare my screen so I can get everybody's faces back up. Thank you.
Thank you. We have 1 minute for a question if anyone wants to ask it. Daniel, thank you very much. I will be sharing my slides and telling you in a minute about NSLS2, which is drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah, excellent. Happy to hear so. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? All right, so let me share my screen. This time I'll try and share it correctly.
I would just add something to the iceberg question. For us, it is something we are looking into to implement the iceberg in our facility. So yeah, I think that integration to the ICE5B is something very interesting for users.
Okay.
Well, we don't have any experience by now, but it's something which would be great to have.
Okay.
Jeff from Max 4. So just a comment. We don't have an SBAR at Max 4, but we are developing this ICE5B API to interface the ICE5B because people from ICE5B, they're interested in collecting data at Max 4. I think they also did some development with Thinkbabble.
All right, we should save the rest of this for the discussion, okay? Because we have my talk and then you get a nice big break.